How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
And we welcome you into a Tuesday edition of Morning Drive, off and running live here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nick Kale, Braden Gall, Derek Mason, Marquise Munson with you. Boys, what's going on? We got a big day today.
Man, I wish I can curse right now.
Wow, yeah. It's so early
really
for that.
I really do, man.
So early for cursing.
I just want to go straight Dolomite. Just
not Dynamite.
Not Dynamite.
Not James Dolan.
Not J.J. Evans.
I'd like someone to go Dynamite on James Dolan, actually.
I think Charles Oakley tried to, but now he's not allowed back in MSG.
Yeah, he got kicked out of the building.
No,
because
they
let him back in.
They let him back in. No, they let him back in because there was a big outrage, and then they end up letting him back in.
He tried to fight,
but it was a reason why.
Yeah, it was a reason, but it, I just was funny because he was trying to fight the entire staff.
No, they kicked him out because James Dolan has a tiny little guitar. That's all I'm saying. His little jazz band.
Is it the C note?
He's making up for something. I don't know what he's making up for. I can't figure it out.
Everybody buy James Dolan's album so he can win a Grammy and go away forever.
Amen to that, brother.
Man.
RJ Barrett W last night.
That's on their way, baby.
Only 78 more games more to go for the Knicks, baby. We're on our way.
They got that first win.
Oh yeah, RJ Barrett 19-15 last. 19-15 and 5 rookie of the year.
That's what I'm talking
about. Only 78 games more to go.
I came so close to betting on the Knicks last night. I saw they were a 2-point underdog. I said,
"You didn't take it?"
I said, "No. I got the Warriors. Uh-huh. I took the Blazers."
Warriors.
But Damian Lillard tried to throw that game away.
You're such a sick and twisted individual.
And I took the Vancouver Canucks last night. I bet hockey, late night hockey that I couldn't even watch.
What is wrong with you?
It's an addiction.
Clearly.
Yeah, I see.
But I like winning.
On the Canucks of all people?
Derek, we've been doing this show a little over.
They scored five goals in the first period.
Oh, hell.
We will be doing this show as of he's dancing, literally dancing. We will be at 2 years in February.
Uh-huh.
Have you gambled on a single event outside of the golf balls you lost to Nick in the 2 years?
No.
I have bet on zero things. Nick Kale bet on two NBA games and a hockey game
last night. Who bets on NBA games? 10 games in.
And I swept the board. You haven't lived until you bet the Blazers in October, and they jump out to a 21-4 lead, only to be trailing later on in the game. And we know everybody makes a run in the NBA.
You could be down
30 points. They're trailing by 19. They went from up 17 to down 19.
Basketball is the only sport you could be trailing by 40. Before half, and they end up winning by two.
Well, it's also the only professional sport where you just don't try half the time.
Yeah, pretty much, though.
Just letting you know.
Exactly. Busy show today. We're live from the wholesaling studio powered by RumbleOn.com. Predators Blackhawks tonight. Titans trade deadline today. Possible World Series clincher tonight as well. So, really good sports day. Let's start with the NFL. Obviously, the trade deadline coming up at 3 o'clock Central today. We'll get to J-Rob and what the Titans will or won't do in a moment. But some moves, obviously, yesterday. The Jets and Giants, Leonard Williams.
First trade ever between the Jets and Giants.
And how about this? How about the fact that it looks like the Jets, they get a 3 and a 5 for Leonard Williams. Are the Jets the more stable franchise of the two? Because I feel like they got the better of the Giants in that deal.
Well, here's the deal, though. If Leonard Williams walks, this is the issue with Mariota or anybody else for the Titans. If you there's going to be a compensatory pick. Mm. Now, the Jets' third round pick will be better, the Giants' third round pick will be better than the compensatory pick. Obviously, right? You're talking about a pick probably in the early third round versus the late third round. But if Leonard Williams walks, the Giants get a third round pick, so they get their pick back essentially. If he walks in free agency. So you get to re-sign him, or you get your compensatory pick back. So the idea, the Giants' risk is actually pretty, it's pretty low. It's mitigated at this point with this compensatory thing that's happening. So it's interesting to watch how it plays out. I don't know what it means for the Titans. Like, it means if you lose it means you're going to get a pick for Mariota at the end of the year if he walks, which is what he would do.
Either or. If you trade him, you're getting a pick. If you let him walk, you're getting a pick. I don't think anyone's giving up no more than what you're going to get in your compensatory pick. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure it's in between that second and fifth round, probably a third, fourth round, somewhere around there. But
third is the only way you could guarantee it being better.
Yeah, I don't think anyone else is going to give them anything more than that. Right. So does it entice the Titans to, take a sure thing, meaning, these are the picks that we're getting? As opposed of the compensatory pick, because it's still, you still don't know what pick you're going to get.
Right. It'll be at the end.
Exactly.
So it'll be like in the 90s.
Absolutely.
Or whatever.
So do you take they're going to give us a third round pick or early third. I take that or just say, let's wait and see what they're going to give us?
I would take the compensatory pick and then have him on the roster. Like, more importantly, I think, is you're still 4-4. You're still in the mix. You still have one of the worst offensive lines in the NFL. Ryan Tannehill got hit a couple times this weekend, and so if you're concerned at all about the health of your quarterback, which you should be, Ryan Tannehill more injury prone than Mariota behind the same stupid offensive line. No disrespect to the offensive lineman, of course. It's a risk to not have anybody behind Tannehill if you think you're still going to compete for a playoff spot. So I don't think it's worth it unless you're getting a second. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, the only way you're getting a second is if somebody says this is our starter. Right, like, we've lost a guy for the season, and we need a starter, and we think we can get a playoff spot, and I don't even know who that would be. Yeah. There's a lot of guys with backups.
If I'm giving up a second, he has to be my starter, period.
Right.
Like, my starter this year and signing him next year, and
probably.
He's going to be my guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that.
It feels, too, though, like, if John Robinson does make a move, that it will be the offensive line, but I don't foresee it being anything of note to the point where like the average Titans fan will say, whoa, we just got so-and-so. I think it'll be a really low-key move. Like this past offseason when they brought in Brent Urban on the defensive line from the Ravens, the equivalent of that on the offensive line, that's all I could see the Titans doing.
I can see them now, considering, the failed LaShawn Sims project once again. I don't know how many times you're going to do this project and experience and not know you're going to get the same results. I think if it all depends on how Adoree Jackson, how bad his injury is, I can see them possibly going out and getting a backup defensive back. Even if he comes back, because you never know, he can go down again. I can see them getting depth at the defensive back position if they can't upgrade the offensive line. Because if they upgrade the offensive line, I would be really surprised if they bring in a starter. I think they bring in a guy that can be a flex guy, a guy that can play across the line. So do you do that or do you bring in a defensive back? I think those are the two questions that needs to be answered. It can be answered before, four today?
Three o'clock Central time.
Three Central?
You can't have enough defensive backs. That's just the modern NFL. And this team obviously could use any depth piece along the offensive line. I'm with both of you guys. I think it's, as I like to call it, nibbling around the edges a little bit. I don't want to see them go big or go home. They've drafted young players to fill the big needs. You got to let those guys develop. You're also not necessarily, like right now, you're 2-4 in the AFC, which means you're well behind Jacksonville, Houston, Indy, Buffalo. These teams that could be in the wild card race, like you're going to have to make up a lot of ground. So I don't think it's worth giving up any major future assets for a major piece, unless you think that major piece is going to be a part of your team for years. Like, if you think a guy could come in and start whatever the position is, corner, safety, receiver, offensive line, whatever, I would have to see that. I would have to know that this person's either under contract or going to be a starter for probably 2 or 3 seasons to give up anything that's remotely valuable moving forward, because there's no guarantee you're even going to be in the race tonight.
But to your point, though, the whole go big or go home type of move, there's no, like, I just feel like the Titans have enough issues and they're so far back. And you mentioned where they are in the division, the tiebreakers they've already lost to Indy, Jacksonville, and Buffalo. I mean, is there any move out there to even be made that would change? And look, this we're not sitting here saying they're eliminated from the playoffs because they're certainly not. There's still a half a season to go. But I don't think there's a move to be had that's going to change the outcome of this season.
No, there's not. They're going to have to – no major move, let's say that.
Right.
They're going to have to roll with the guys that they have and hope that, you know, because they can't lose – they got to win. They can't lose no more than two games from here on out if they want to have a shot at the playoffs because – I would put this on damn near everything. They're not making the playoffs at 9-7 just because of what happened in the division.
Because
already.
Of the tiebreakers lost
already, they're not going to make. They have to go. They have to go 10-6 to make the playoffs, unless everybody just falls off the map and everybody lose, and then they kind of creep up. But as they sit now, they can't lose no more than two games. So if that is indeed the case, go big or go home, don't apply. It's not applicable to this situation. They might as well just play it out with the guys they got. Go get some guys that maybe could be, you know, some depth pieces. But other than that, to me, it's just like ride what you got.
And try
to go from there.
I agree with that. It also is, I know it's not the same, but, you know, they're 2-0 with Tannehill. They're also 2-0 with Jeffrey Simmons. And, you know, getting him in week 7 is also sort of like a trade deadline acquisition.
Oh, yeah.
In theory. I know it's not. I know you spent a first-round draft pick on him, so don't tweet me. But it's sort of like acquiring a major piece on your defense midway through the season because that's what it is. So adding Simmons to the defense makes this unit even better, makes all the linebackers' jobs easier, makes Jarrell Casey's job easier. We saw a lot more of Jarrell Casey being more active this past weekend against Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
So it's having Jeffrey Simmons, Big Jeff, line up, which, by the way, is a compliment, not like Big Rog. Big Rog is more of like an insult. Big Jeff is sort of like the nickname for, you know, old country's crunchy strong boy down there from Mississippi State. So it's getting him healthy as early as no one expected him to be contributing the way he is already. So adding him is sort of like house money at this point.
All right, Floyd Reese will join us coming up at 6:30 this morning. Also, it's Predators game day. They take on the Blackhawks tonight at 7 with pregame coverage getting underway at 6. So Chris Mason will stop by at 9:30 this morning. And also, it's a Tuesday, and we are only 1 week away from the college football playoff rankings being revealed.
Ugh.
So Derek Mason, since it's a Tuesday and we do our top four,
You know what
you need to do right now.
Hang on, let me take my headset off.
Should I go with the new one or the old one? The new one?
New one.
Whatever floats your boat.
Top four Tuesday! There it is.
There you go.
La 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 la.
He went back to like an original album and did like a
old remix.
Played all the hits during the live show. I like it.
We love playing hits.
Play the hits, boys.
All right, coming up next, the Tennessee Titans will start Ryan Tannehill this week, but who do the Carolina Panthers start against the Tennessee Titans? That answer revealed on the other side of Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Floyd Reese will join us coming up in about 15 minutes. So Ryan Tannehill 2-0 as the starting quarterback of the Tennessee Titans. But who will he face as his counterpart on Sunday? Ron Rivera, head coach for the Panthers, confirming yesterday Kyle Allen will remain the starter, who suffered his first loss of the season as the Niners just absolutely bludgeoned the Panthers. And Kyle Allen threw three picks in that game on Sunday, but it was his first interceptions of the year, and it was the first loss with the Panthers. I don't know about you guys. I kind of feel like sticking with Kyle Allen's the right move.
It is, but hang on. Just give me a second. I'm going to go to my fantasy lineup and put the Tennessee Titans defense into my lineup real fast here.
So you like the matchup this week?
I mean, I like it better than playing Cam Newton.
I would take the matchup versus Cam before I take it versus Kyle Allen. Here's the reason. Cam is still hurt. Even if they would have started him this week, he's still not 100%.
Well, and we've seen
Cam at 100% when he's not 100%. He's just not the same quarterback.
It's better than facing a healthy Cam is what I mean.
Exactly. So what they're going to have to do is, if you stop, which is a truly tall task, if you stop Christian McCaffrey, then you stop their offense. But that's a big if, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm not so much worried about Kyle Allen or I'm not so much worried about who starts at quarterback. I'm worried about if Jayon Brown or Byard or Vaccaro, whoever,
tough matchups,
whoever,
man.
Can they cover, you know, Christian McCaffrey? That's what I'm worried about. And it seems like nobody's really had a solution for him.
Jayon Brown is sort of like, if you were going to go to the college ranks.
Well, last week they did because they blew Carolina out 51-13, somebody.
If you were going to go to the college ranks as a scout and say, all right, I need a modern linebacker who can cover a running back who catches a ton of passes, you would probably pick Jayon Brown out of like a lot of players in the NFL. He mm-hmm. is the prototype of what you want in that position, right? He's about 6 foot, 225, can run, great hips, great in the open field, like super fluid, all these things, but he's a little undersized because he's a modern NFL linebacker who can play in space. And I don't think he's got a chance against Christian McCaffrey. And Jayon Brown might be the best at what he does in the whole league, or among the best at what he does in the whole league. And you're going to have to – you can't do it alone. You're going to have to use other players. And like you said, whether it's a Byard, I don't think – Vaccaro certainly – and Vaccaro, let's be clear on this. I think Kenny Vaccaro is one of the most underrated and under-talked about pieces on this team. We don't talk about how good he is and how important he is enough, so I want to make sure I preface that. I don't think he can hang.
I mm-hmm. think Amani Hooker play more than what he has played.
That's a great point. A good tackler, a DB, plays in space, another good idea there. I just don't think Vaccaro is the guy you want matched up man-to-man on Christian McCaffrey. Byard could probably do it, but even then, you're going to give up yards. Nobody can truly shut him down.
So this past week with the Titans winning, it was the first time I actually predicted a Titans game correctly.
Nice.
Wow.
So
how does it feel? Can you tell us how
great.
You feel?
And I think Floyd Reese did as well. We were both 0-7 going into that game. But my gut feeling for this one, just because we know the NFL is so bizarre and the Titans don't stack together too many wins too often, it feels like after Carolina got embarrassed returning home.
Yeah, it's not good.
Titans winning two in a row.
It's not good.
I don't have a good feel for this week.
I'm with you on this one. I think Carolina leads the NFL in sacks. Mm-hmm. End of discussion.
Yeah, no, that's true.
That's it. There's no, what else do you want me to say? Like, yeah. That's it. Like, I'm not saying I think the Titans defense will play well. I think they match up well against Kyle Allen. I don't think Kyle Allen is special. We saw Niners defense really play well, especially at the point of attack last week against Carolina. You're not going to stop Christian McCaffrey, but it's the other side that concerns me. Why is this offensive line going to stop the best pressure team in the NFL? If this team has – the Carolina Panthers have like 32 sacks of their own. Something like that, 30 sacks in whatever it is, 7 or 8 games. Like, why is this offensive line going to all of a sudden stop the best pass rush in the NFL? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. You look at that defense, it feels like they're more than Luke Kuechly. Thomas Davis is long gone. They're more than Shaq Wilson. To be completely honest, I can't think of a guy. I know they drafted the Burns kid out of Florida State off the edge.
Having a really good season.
Who else do they have as far as a pass rush? Because I can't think of their top edge guys.
They've drafted a ton of defensive tackles over the last few years, whether it was Quan Short out of Purdue, Star Lutalele out of Utah. Like, they've drafted a lot of guys, first-round guys, on their defense. And they just keep stockpiling guys. Ron Rivera, listen, I don't know if Ron Rivera is a great coach. I don't know if he's a great motivator. I don't know if he's certainly not got anything to offer the offense. But defensively, he's a pretty good coordinator, right? Mm-hmm. So I think he does a pretty good job with that side of the ball. They're not an elite defense, but they do a few things really, really well. All the things that the Chargers and the Bucks don't do well, right? They have an efficient pass defense because of a great pass rush. So it's a team that gets after the quarterback better than anybody else in the league. And the Titans have an offensive line that has allowed more sacks than anybody else, right?
So
I know, like, you know, I'm not trying to overthink this, but what tells you that matchup is not going to go the way of the Panthers?
Well, it's 100% Carolina advantage.
Yeah. The Titans are giving up, what, 3 sacks a game, just about close to. And so you can almost, you know, mark down that, okay, Tannehill will get hit 3 times. You just hope that none of the hits cause a turnover and none of the hits cause him to have to leave the game. We're not talking about pressures. We're just talking about hits on a quarterback, sacks. And they're going to have to do a much better job in the pass game this week. than they did last week. I don't know what it was last week. I think it's a combination of both. It's a combination of all. You know, maybe the play calling, the receivers getting off of, you know, getting open, and then a quarterback possibly not seeing them, or offensive line just not blocking well enough. But it seemed like they made a conservative effort to give it to the tight ends because that was the mismatch. Maybe the mismatch this week is the tight ends again.
Well, and Jonnu Smith, and they need Jonnu Smith to continue doing what he's doing for the rest of his career. I mean, like, basically. 34 sacks allowed for the Tennessee Titans, number one in the NFL, tied with the Jets. That's 4.5 a game. That's hard to do.
Man.
And technically, I was wrong. The Panthers are number two behind the Patriots.
If I'm telling you, I just fall down four quick times.
Just to get it over with?
Yeah, okay, we're done.
All right, guys. That's four.
That's our quota. We met it. I'm upright. Now let's go.
They don't end up with 9 sacks.
Dude, I mean, this is going to be an Arthur Smith game. Like, show me what you got. All right, you're in the second half of your first season, week 9. They have a great pass rush. You have a terrible job of protecting your quarterback. Scheme around it. I'm not expecting miracles, but, you know, show us why you got the job.
But it's
I
think, you know, Arthur Smith is like any other first-year coach. They are learning on the fly. It's like, okay, I got some things that I know to be true, some things I can fall back on, but everything else is like trial and error. I'm kind of learning as I go because I've never done this before.
I'm really good at picking up negative 1 yards.
Yeah, but
– really good.
But, you know, he's going to have to prove that, you know, he can call a game, a consistent game, against better defenses, because he doesn't have a track record against better defenses at calling good games, or what we may perceive to be as good games.
You mean like a
football?
You mean a track record like Ken Whisenhunt, who just got fired last night by the Chargers?
Got fired, so that's one thing.
They just won a game.
Yeah, they just won. But still, the offense with all that firepower on offense, and they're only averaging like 19 points a game. Probably no, they're averaging 18 points a game.
And he's widely considered a pretty darn good coordinator.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Not a good head coach,
right?
Not a good dude, but a good, good coordinator, a really good offensive coordinator. The Wiz, blame the Wiz, Phillip.
Wiz is a bad guy?
How'd you get 9 kids? Blame the Wiz.
And that was his boy, wasn't it? He and Wiz were like that. They were tight.
What did I miss? Is Ken Whisenhunt a bad dude?
Ken Whisenhunt didn't exactly endear himself to the Nashville community.
Yeah. Okay.
He didn't open his arms when he came to Nashville.
He put in literally zero effort to work himself into the city, right? Yeah. Like, whether it's with former players, whether it's with the media, with the fans, he just sort of thought he was better than everybody else.
Ken Whisenhunt. That's why we blame everything on Whisenhunt. Everything that happens, you know, it doesn't matter. It rained today, it was Whisenhunt's fault.
There's no toilet paper.
Yeah,
it's Whisenhunt's fault.
Speaking of no toilet paper, we gotta get restocked in the bathroom. Went in there early this morning. There's nothing in there.
Oh, I was just in there. It's all good.
Is it good?
I don't need a second source either. I can report. I can report that there is TP.
I wanted to fire out a few tweets while I was in the facilities. You know, and there was no accessories.
That's how you know Nick Kale loves you.
Yes,
is if he's toilet tweets you.
Yeah, toilet tweets.
Toilet tweets.
Double T.
Could be a new segment. Stay
Double
tuned.
T.
All right, Floyd Reese, he joins us next on Morning Drive. Back in here live on a Tuesday edition of Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nick Braden, D-Mace, Marquise. It's Tuesday at 6:30. It's time to welcome in our resident general manager, Floyd Reese. You hear him weekdays 2 to 6 on Jared and the GM. Floyd, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about you guys?
We're doing well. It feels like now more than ever the NFL trade deadline day has become more of a thing. Like, yeah, I always think of baseball's trade deadline, the NBA, the NHL, but now the NFL seems like it has more juice than it has in years past. Take us back to when you were a general manager. How was this day viewed, and what was that day like for a GM?
Well, of course, this day was about 2 or 3 weeks sooner. And consequently, most of the teams were just kind of getting into themselves. And they, you know, maybe weren't sure about certain guys. So, you know, somebody that you might have interest in trading, you weren't willing to pull the trigger. And somebody you might want to go get, you just weren't sure about. They moved the date back to today. And it's really made a difference, I think, because by this time, I think teams have a much better feel for what they have, what they need, what they might be looking for, where they have surpluses and might be willing to deal them. So it's really different. When I was GM, I mean, it just kind of came and went. Generally speaking, not a big day. I think now that has really changed, and we're seeing not only a lot more trades sooner, but I think, you know, we'll see some stuff happen today too.
What will today tell you about John Robinson, the way he views this roster, the future quarterback situation, offensive line, you know, whatever? What will today's decisions or non-decisions tell you about John Robinson and the Titans?
Well, I think this is just a gut feeling, but I'm not sure he wants to get rid of any more draft currency. You know, so I'm thinking he's not necessarily going to be one to jump out and give away draft choices for a player. Now, I could be completely wrong, but that's just me. I think if anything is done, it's probably going to be a player for a player, and I think it'll probably be some, you know, maybe somebody not significant, because, you know, I don't know who on our team that would be significant that you would really want to trade. And so I think, you know, I don't expect to see a great deal. And John has always been willing to make deals. You know, it's not that he's ever been hesitant, but I just don't see maybe the situation. You know, defensive tackle, if somebody was looking for an extra defensive tackle, we might have a surplus there, and that might, you know, that might be tantalizing to some people. But other than that, you know, I'm not sure that we have a surplus. Now, we have needs, but I'm not sure he's going to be willing to give up much capital to try to take care of those things.
Now, typically we know in this league, when a guy is hired, head coach, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, it doesn't matter. Typically they get a couple years to kind of get things going, and then they choose to make a decision, the head coach or GM choose to make a decision on whether to change the head coach or to change the offensive coordinators or defensive coordinators. From your experience, Arthur Smith, it seems like he's still learning on the fly. There are some things that he's good at, but, you know, just like any other first-year play caller, whether it be on offense or defense, there are things that he just don't know yet. So how long would it take or should it take a coordinator to kind of get his feet up underneath him to where he's now, you know, confident and stable and everyone else around him is confident, truly confident in him making calls?
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, probably by now, everything equal. I think the problem that he's been dealing with and continued in the game even this week is, you know, who's going to be playing offensive line? Mm-hmm. You know, maybe on this team right now, maybe the most important area on the whole team, and you literally don't know who's going to be playing from week to week. You know, you don't know who's going to be healthy. You don't know who's going to be capable, you know. So I think that has really affected what they've done. You know, just from things that you may want to do and things that you know you can do. You know, I think we saw this weekend, you know, we thought we could go in there and maybe have a chance to run the ball a little bit. You know, we're going to try to run the ball a little bit. And yet us trying to block those two hosses they had inside, I mean, that was a lesson in futility. I mean, we just could not get it done. And consequently, by the end of the game, you know, he's running the ball outside. I think they came in, Tampa came in, not really afraid of our receivers. You know, they were going to make our receivers prove it. And consequently, I thought Arthur did a pretty good job of adjusting and taking what they were going to give him. They're going to take away the outside guys. That's fine. Middle of the field's open. So we've got some tight ends. They need to make plays for us. We've got slots. Humphreys, he needs to make plays for us. And I think they started moving the ball inside, throwing, and then running the ball outside at the end of the game. You know, we saw Derek take a couple of toss plays, which is not normal for him, and being fairly productive. So, you know, I don't envy the situation he's in with that offensive line. I mean, it's a headache from week to week.
Floyd, yesterday Ron Rivera, the Panthers head coach, said that Kyle Allen will get the start this week against the Titans, even though it looks like Cam Newton's close to a return. How delicate is that decision and that balance from the standpoint of, we all know that Cam Newton's an accomplished quarterback and Kyle Allen's had a nice run, but you know, he looked shaky this past week. Is it all about just not upsetting the locker room because you have a winning product right now?
I'm sure there's a little bit of that, and then of course there's, you know, Cam is our franchise guy, and if in fact, you know, we think he's going to continue to be the franchise guy, then whenever he's healthy enough to play, we need to get him back in there. And if you don't, then, you know, I think you're signaling something to the team, and how the team responds to that, I mean, I don't know, but it's not easy. And I think probably the longer that they can play off Cam's injuries, whether it's a foot or a shoulder or elbow, whatever it is, that you know, it buys them a little bit of time. And the truth is, I mean, the young quarterback's playing pretty good. Now, he didn't play as well this weekend, I agree. But, you know, over this five, six, however many games he's played, he's really been fairly productive. So, you know, whenever – If Cam is the guy, as soon as he's 100% ready to go, I'm sure they'll shuffle him back in there. But they don't appear to be in a big hurry to do that.
Which matchup are you more concerned about, Floyd? Trying to stop Christian McCaffrey or trying to stop the Panthers' pass rush?
Yeah, I mean, I think McCaffrey is a legitimate, you know, MVP candidate. I mean, he is playing so well and can do so many things. You know, I mean, he is an outstanding receiver, an outstanding runner, even inside, which, you know, you look at him and physically you think, well, he's not necessarily a great inside runner, but he is. You know, very elusive outside. I mean, just a real productive guy. He goes out there every week and he's going to get his. And it's one of those games, I think, you go in and you say, well, we know we can't stop him. Okay, well, let's just slow him down as much as we can, and it's a nightmare from a matchup standpoint. You know, if you think to yourself, okay, we can cover the outside guys, we'll be okay. So let's, you know, load up the box and get ourselves in a position where we can stop the run. Well, then, you know, they start throwing the ball, especially to him. And now who do you have as a linebacker that's going to cover that guy? Or maybe even a safety, you know, that's going to cover that guy. He kind of reminds me of when we played the Rams way, way back, and Marshall Faulk was in the backfield. And he was a similar kind of guy, could do so many things. And we ended up actually, during the regular season game, playing nickel the whole game and putting a corner on him and saying, hey, you know, this is the best chance we have. And it worked out pretty well, and I have no clue what the Titans will do.
Floyd, always a pleasure. We appreciate it. We'll be listening later today at 2 o'clock.
Thanks, guys.
You got it. Floyd Reese, former GM of the Titans, joins us every Tuesday at 6:30 here on Morning Drive. And don't forget, you can listen today on this very show for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Nashville SC at First Tennessee Park for the Eastern Conference semifinals of the USL playoffs this Saturday. Tickets now available for purchase. NashvilleSC.com.
It's going to be a fun game.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, playoffs, I mean, USL, MSL.
I don't care.
Don't matter.
MSL.
What did I say, MSL?
MLS.
Yeah. MSNBC?
I don't think it matters. Like I think Nashville loves like OVC basketball tournaments. Like, I don't think it matters. You get to the playoffs and anything, and Nashville will support you, man.
So a year ago at the trade deadline time, we were talking about the Titans trying to make a play for a receiver. And I know I wanted Amari Cooper. I think, Mace, you kind of wanted him. I think we're all in agreement this time around that while last year some of us wanted a splash-type move, this year it's about just keeping that draft capital. Everybody agree?
Yeah, I don't like trading draft picks in general.
If you're giving up a 7 for a backup lineman,
yeah,
okay.
That's different. But, I mean, anything in the first 5 rounds I think is almost too valuable because that's how you build your team
mm-hmm.
moving forward.
All right. Coming up next, one man believes the GOAT is on his way to the Music City. We'll debunk that on the other side. Back after this. It is Morning Drive. Thank you very much, Jeff Fisher. We will get to you coming up around 7:15.
Oh, will we?
Oh, we will.
Okay.
You like this?
What do you? What is it?
I just feel like, man.
Is there a bird in the studio?
I know the Pelicans are 0-4 in the NBA, but man.
Who's got a shotgun?
That's
anybody?
That too short, man.
Like, that's that too short, man.
You know what too short said all the time.
I can go for shorty right now. Just saying.
Shoot, man.
It's hard to make Derek uncomfortable. God. And Nick manages to do it at least once a show.
That's the goal.
Oh,
bucket
goodness.
List, checklist, boom.
Derek, do you just want to take Nick out with you everywhere you go in social settings and just bring him along?
Just to make it awkward on you and then walk
just
off.
To make it as awkward as
just
possible.
To make an awkward joke and then leave you standing right there goodness. To explain your
I
plan.
Do not know the white guy. Get him out of here.
Wait, hey, is this guy with you? Never met him. never met him.
So, last Thursday, Adam Schefter, it wasn't really like this big breaking news, hardcore report. It's one of these things where, and you take everything seriously with Adam Schefter because he is the GOAT when it comes to NFL inside information. But Adam Schefter said on, I believe it was the Get Up Show, that the New England Patriots are the least likely destination for Tom Brady in 2020.
Tommy.
Meaning that this is going to be the last year for Brady in Foxborough. And I don't think that'll ever be the case. I think he'll retire before he leaves Foxborough. But what does my opinion matter when Adam Schefter is saying what he says? Now, on Friday, take a listen. Here is Stephen A. Smith on ESPN reading into Schefter saying Brady's time in Foxborough could very well be over and that Tom Brady might come to the Music City.
The Tennessee Titans. Why would I say that? Who's Tom Brady? Known to be close to.
Vrabel?
Mike Vrabel, the head coach of the Tennessee Titans. They played together for 7 or 8 years in New England. Mm-hmm. They went to 4 Super Bowls together. Mm-hmm. They won 3 titles together. And oh, by the way, each of the years that they won those titles, if I remember correctly, of the 8 years or so that Vrabel was in New England, about 6 of those times they were a top 10 defense. About 4 of those times they were a top 5 defense. Mm-hmm. Okay? So when I'm looking at it, one could legitimately make the argument that Tom Brady has 3 of the rings that he has in large part because of what they were doing on the defensive side of the ball. And we all know that Vrabel played a role in that as well. According to reports, they're still close. They still communicate. And what's the problem with the Tennessee Titans as we look at them right now? I got news for you. It's not their defense. Mm-hmm. Their problem is offensively. They don't have much of an offense because of Marcus Mariota and now Ryan Tannehill. You supposed to bet your money on that? Tom Brady could be 50 years old and he'd be an upgrade from Marcus Mariota and Ryan Tannehill. So I'm going to sit up there and say, I don't know if something like that would happen because I have to believe he'd probably retire first, and I don't believe that Mr. Kraft would lose him in New England. But if he were to end up going somewhere else, the team that comes to my mind is the Tennessee Titans.
So, Stephen A. Smith, now keep in mind, this is the same guy who thought Dwayne Haskins was a dual threat. Mm-hmm. This is the same guy that thought Hunter Henry was active.
Not even a dual threat, just more of a runner.
Right, yeah. Right. Oh, he ran for all of what, the 112 yards in how many years?
He's more of a passer, Steven.
There's zero chance.
That's a guy that didn't watch Haskins at all.
Zero chance.
Like he just saw African-American quarterback.
Yeah, he black quarterback.
He stereotyped
a black
quarterback and said he runs.
Yeah. Said
that's
he
what
runs.
He did.
So, and that's not the case.
So Adam Schefter did an interview with WEEI in Boston, and he said basically he doubled down on Tom Brady and his trainer putting their houses up for sale in the area. And so that sort of led, you know, the fact that Schefty and all these guys are saying, well, you should pay attention to this. This is a thing that matters. He doesn't have a contract for next year. It's set to be voided after 2019. And he and his trainer, is that the one that got busted for all this stuff?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's still using that guy. Cool. So that guy, those two guys are selling their houses in Boston. People love Nashville, man. They love coming down. Belichick's got a house down here.
It has nothing. Here's the thing. Tom understands. I think as much as you like these guys, they don't do their homework, I don't think. They really don't.
Well, Schefter does, Stephen.
No, even for small market, because we're still considered, and it's bad, but we're still considered a small market.
I like it. I like being a small market.
Here's the thing. Tom knows he's not playing no more than maybe 2 seasons. After this one, maybe 2 seasons. probably knows that he doesn't want to stay on the Northeast. So if I am him, I'm putting my house up for sale. I am, just because I want to do it now. So when I do retire.
Oh, stop acting like a normal
human. Exactly. So when
stop
I do retire,
come on.
I can just kind of segue into my life. I've already got everything set. I can just segue into my life and don't have to then sell my house after I do all this other stuff. Maybe he's just doing that. Maybe he's saying, you know what? I'm only going to play this game maybe a year or two. Let me sell my house now.
Well, do you think it'll move
I
fast?
I got another house somewhere else.
Like, do you think it'll move fast at like $38 million listing price? Like,
probably
what do you think?
Not. It's going to take some time.
Or maybe Tom says, you know what?
Joanna Gaines up there?
I'm 42 years old. I've defied father time, and I no longer enjoy being healthy. So what I'll do is I'll go to the Tennessee Titans, and I'll have Big Raj block my blindside, and I'll get knocked into oblivion by week four and be dead.
Well, no, he wants a challenge. He's won all the Super Bowls, and he says, you know, this NFL thing is too easy. But I'm going to go play for the Titans.
My thing is, it would surprise me to every surprisement. I don't know if he ever left New England, because my thing is this.
Yeah.
Brady going to the Titans would be the equivalent of Michael Jordan quitting basketball to play baseball.
That's how big it would be. Listen, Montana didn't want to leave San Francisco. They traded him away because they had a backup. Favre didn't want to leave Green Bay. Peyton really doesn't want to leave Indianapolis. These guys were forced to leave.
It happens.
If he's not forced to leave, in my mind, why would I want to go anywhere else? I'm going to retire in this uniform.
Jimmy Garoppolo's gone. Who are they forcing him out for? Jared Stidham?
Yeah, I don't think they're forcing him out. Here's the question, though. How much of Tom, and this is the honest question, how much of Tom's like inner monologue, his inner drive, whatever, how much of it is tied to, I want to win without Belichick? How much of that does he care about? He may care about it at zero. He may care about it a whole lot. We don't know.
Do you think the dynamic between those two is overblown?
I don't know if it's. I don't think there's like a hatred or a you know, any kind of friction. I think that part's overblown, to your point. But I think if you gave Bill Belichick truth serum and I told you, hey, Tom Brady's going to retire, why are you going to still coach? His answer, I think, if you gave him truth serum, would be, I want to prove it without Tommy. And I think vice versa. I think Tommy wants there's this, like, you can't have that big of an ego and not want to prove yourself without the other guy.
I
want to go do it on my own.
Honestly, I don't think Bill Belichick gives a damn who's at quarterback. Honestly,
I think that's.
I think he doesn't care. It's like he in his mind. He feel he can win with anybody.
He won 11 games with Matt Castle.
He won 11 games with Matt Castle.
And missed the playoffs somehow.
Happened that the AFC was really good that year. Yeah. And they didn't win their division. That's what happened. They didn't win the division. I think Miami won it that year.
That's the only year that.
Yeah, so my thing is Bill doesn't care who's his quarterback. He likes that Tom's his quarterback. It makes his job a little bit easier.
Doesn't that feed into what I'm saying? Like that he – there's this element of, man, if I won a Super Bowl without Tom Brady, I would be I'm already revered. Mm-hmm. But what's the next step? The next step would be winning without Tom, right?
But honestly, as much as I see in a Bill Belichick, I don't think he cares, really. I think Tom cares more.
That may be true.
Than Bill. I think Bill just don't. Bill is oblivious to anything that doesn't have plays on it.
So why is Tom, let's ask a basic question. Why is Tom still playing? Like, he's not playing because of, like, money. He's not playing because of legacy.
Because Tom, he's just like legacy. Any other player, that is Tom Brady. Football is Tom Brady. I'm not saying he can't go out and do anything else, because he probably can.
Oh, he's got his whole
football,
brand he's building.
Football is Tom Brady.
Well, and he's never let complacency set in. Like, Tom Brady showed up to Titans camp this summer for the joint practices. He looked like he was rolling into the Super Bowl. He was ticked off for greatness on our practice day.
He was cussing out.
So it's like he knows, and I don't mean this in a bad way, he knows nothing but football because it's him. So if he feel he can still play, why retire? You know, he enjoys playing the game. He loves it. They barely get hit. They protect the quarterback to all ends. Yeah. So he's like, listen, if they're going to protect me like this, I'm going to play till my arm falls off.
Again, I don't disagree with anything you're saying. I'm just saying the only way that you can add to their legacies, either one of them, the only way you can add to Brady's legacy and the only way you can add to Belichick's legacy, because they already have everything. They've already won everything they can possibly win. They're the greatest of all time, right? Mm-hmm. The only way that either one of them can go another tier is to do it by themselves.
I think
separately.
Peyton's still the number one.
That's all, and that's fair. I don't have a, listen. I would take Peyton at the start of their careers too. Have you seen Tom Brady's combine photo? I mean, I agree. Here's the other one I'd float out there just right before we go to break, just to roll a grenade into the commercial break here, and that's Phillip Rivers, who was a name that was linked to the Titans a couple of years ago during trade before Mariota was here, and that's a name that, you know, he's reaching that same area of his career where, like you said, with Montana and Favre, like if the Chargers decide, hey, this is the year we're going to draft a guy, we've got a good draft pick, and we like the guy we're going to get at seven or whatever, then maybe the Chargers decide, hey, this is the last year for Rivers. Are we going to move on from him? Could Rivers be a guy who's from Alabama, from this area of the country, has been linked to the Titans in the past? That's another name like Brady to consider. I'm not considering Eli Manning because I don't think he makes you any better. But Phillip Rivers and Tom Brady would make you better.
I would take, and it has nothing to do with their ability to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
I would take Phillip Rivers before I take Tom Brady. And this is the only reason why. It's because with Tom, I think with Phillip, if he comes, he doesn't have to bring his offense. I think Phillip can fit into anything.
Yeah.
I think with Tom, sort of like with Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning took that offense and took it with them to Denver. That's why it worked so well. Could Tom take that offense? Because Peyton called all his plays. Tom doesn't. You know, the hoodie is still not Bill Belichick, but
Hoodie,
the other one.
Hoodie Jr.
Yeah, Hoodie Jr. is still there making calls. So can Tom then leave and take that playbook with him? I don't know if that's the case. Maybe the Hoodie Jr. would have to come with him. And if that's the case, they'd be coming to Nashville, bye-bye, Arthur.
Just got this link sent to me on Bill Belichick. He was on WEEI in Boston on Monday, and he apparently before said he could never see himself coaching into the 70s. He is 67 years old, and now he says, when I said it, I didn't know what 70 felt like. So I'm not really sure if that's an accurate statement today or not. At the time, I didn't feel that way. Now that I'm closer to that age, I don't know. We might see Belichick coach well into his 70s.
Yeah, because he went to Cool Springs MD.
Don't did
he? Yeah. Well, he lives here.
Exactly. There you go.
He's got a house here.
All right, coming up next, D-Mace, it's your favorite time of the week. It's Top 4 Tuesday in college football. Do you want to serenade the audience with how you feel?
I'll do it when we come back.
Okay, that's a good point.
A second? You're going to make him do it a second time?
Absolutely. Yeah,
second time around.
The people weren't woke. They were still asleep.
Yeah. Well, the people are always woke. Yeah. I don't know if they woke up.
They always woke.
Stay woke.
Exactly.
Stay woke.
Back after this, Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.